Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad when you join us here. And if you'd like to take part in our conversations, you're more than welcome to do so. Phone numbers at the Exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, we're at 541-552-6782. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The official word went out from Southern Oregon University this week. Retrenchment is coming. The budget and enrollment picture at SOU will force cuts in programs and staff. It's certainly not the first time for this or any other state university in our region. Both states cut property taxes decades ago and forced the respective states to put more money into public schools, squeezing money out of the state universities and many other programs. And on the Oregon side, the retrenchment announcement comes amid other changes in the operation of the public higher education system. Mary Cullinan is the president of Southern Oregon University and announced the retrenchment as part of her State of the University address several days ago. She's here in the studio with us. President Cullinan, welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So this particular term is used, I understand, for a very specific reason relating to contracts and things. Is that right?
Yes. It's an ugly word, but it's really not stating a state of crisis. And I do want to stress that at this point, what I've done is cite that I believe that we should have a communication period for the next 15 university days where everybody has an opportunity to look at our finances and give me comments about whether they see a need for us to go into this process. So I didn't announce retrenchment. I announced that I thought there was a need and that I want to have people on campus really look at the numbers. So we're going to start a series of budget forums starting on Monday. But I do want to stress this isn't a crisis. The word is used. It is a technical word because we can always add academic programs whenever we want, but if we want to delete, if we want to restructure, merge programs, we need to go through this process, which requires that we open the faculty contract and go through this very careful step-by-step process that requires a lot of discussion, collaboration, and preliminary plan before a final plan.
So you're saying that it's possible nothing will be cut?
It could happen that people see some other numbers than what I'm seeing. I feel strongly that we need to do this, but I need to hear from faculty, staff, and students. We went through a prioritization process last academic year where we ranked all of our academic programs, and this was a very consultative process with faculty and staff. And so we had over 180 programs, which is a lot for a school our size. We had 17 programs that were so new that we couldn't even rank them. And so we've been adding programs that meet market needs, meet students' needs, but we haven't had the opportunity to think about what we really don't need to do so much anymore. And this is an opportunity for us to do that. We finally can look at that prioritization process and see what programs we really don't need to be spending our resources on at this point.
But will the financial realities then potentially force you to make changes based upon the prioritization that you might have taken a little more time to make otherwise?
I'm not sure that we would have taken more time. We got the results from the prioritization process last June, and the faculty and students asked us not to make any decisions over the summer, which made sense. Well, some people are gone. And so now it's fall, and so now I think people were really expecting that we would now look at that list and also look at what our needs are. We have some programs that are bursting at the seams and others that really graduate very few students. And so we need to take a hard look at our offerings, and we haven't done that in a long time.
Well, Dr. Cullinan, this all does start with numbers, though. I mean, it really is a financial picture thing first and foremost. So what are the numbers that are triggering the talk of retrenchment?
Well, first, the most stunning number for me is that our state allocation for this biennium is $13 million less than it was in 1999. And that's not even numbers adjusted for inflation. That's just we're getting from the state $13 million less. We have 800 more students than we had in 1999. And, of course, all kinds of other costs have escalated during those times. And so we all know the result of that is that our students are picking up the costs in their tuition.
In very simple math, you can divide $13 million by the number of students on campus and then add inflation on top of that.
Yes. And so it's a nasty number. And our students are feeling that. And so one of our obligations, what I feel my obligation is, to do everything that I can to ensure that our costs are kept low enough that we don't have to essentially tax the students more than we're already doing. And so this is part of that effort to streamline, to ensure that we serve our students and that we keep our costs reasonable. And so that was something that's been on our mind, you know, for a number of years as we've been trying to cut costs. But we also, it looks like we'll have an enrollment dip this fall, and we had one last fall, and that's on top of some of the largest classes that we've ever had in our history. So we graduated two of our largest classes ever in 2012 and 2013. And so here we are with somewhat fewer students and an allocation that is rather breathtakingly low, and we do want to align our resources with our costs.
Was the enrollment dip sharp enough to account for the entire, I'm hearing $4 million is the shortfall figure that had been used in most media reports?
That does not account for it. There are some other things. And again, I don't want to get too technical, but there was also an accounting adjustment that was made by the Oregon University system. And so that required us to take about $2.5 million and put it aside in case of people not paying their bills. It's an accounts receivable adjustment. And so actually our cash is not as different as it was a few months ago, but the number in the fund balance is $4 million lower.
So you've been required essentially to keep a bigger rainy day fund by the bosses up at the Oregon University system.
Yes.
Dr. Mary Cullen is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the president at Southern Oregon University. We're talking about the current situation with enrollment and financials and the possible retrenchment coming to campus. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange anywhere in the listening area at 800-838-3760. In the Rogue Valley, the local number is 541-552-6782. The email address is jx@jeffnet.org. That comes to another question I know I had going through my mind yesterday. Is I'm sure people are going to say, well, what are the contingencies that are in place for situations when income, usually through enrollment, drops somewhat? What sort of rainy day fund, endowment, any kind of financial cushion that exists to begin with for such situations? What is there?
Well, first, I want to stress that our SOU Foundation has an endowment that we can't touch to run the university. That money is almost exclusively set aside for scholarships, for students. Donors have given us funding in a very specific manner. So the endowment is a wonderful help for students, but it's not going to pay for the bills for running the university. The State Board of Higher Education mandates that we keep, every university, every public university in Oregon, has to keep at least a 5% fund balance. That's a cushion. And so that's the breaking point, essentially, so that when we dipped below 5% with a combination of the accounts receivable adjustment and a dip in enrollment, that triggered a response that says you need to now look at how you're going to cut your expenses. And that was, again, another impetus for us to look hard at our academic programs. I mean, I do have to say that typically a university accrues programs. We have wonderful ideas for new programming, and the old programs stay on the books. And so this is a time to go and look at all those minors, those certificate programs, areas that haven't been attracting students or graduating students for a while. And so I think this is an opportunity for us to streamline so we can invest in the areas that are really going to be important for students.
You mentioned that at 180 programs, Southern Oregon University has more offerings than a lot of schools its size. Is there a normal range of numbers there for the number of programs?
I really can't answer that. The 180 plus includes just a whole range of not just majors, but minors and certificates and other kinds of programming. And I don't have any comparable numbers for other universities. Everybody counts these things a little differently.
But I imagine by now, I mean, given, and believe me, I watched this process for a long time, ever since the Measure 5 property tax limitations went into effect with the 1990 election. This is when this process essentially started. It seems like by now, after more than two decades of whittling away at the offerings of the university, that you probably removed all the low-hanging fruit by now. You've gotten rid of all the fat in the budget, I would think, by this point.
Really, we have reduced administration, reduced staff very severely over the years. And in fact, you know, we're at a point that we have to consider our own risk. You know, if we have someone in the business office who becomes ill, we don't have someone to back that person up. And so one of the things we're doing now is we're talking about restructuring in the whole university system is how can we share services? How can we share business services and other support services like that with our sister universities? Because we're all looking at this. We're all thin in administration. And we've all worked so hard to make sure that our students don't feel these cuts and they don't feel tuition rises any more than we can help. But it means that we have definitely become very thin on the support side.
Dr. Mary Cullen, and again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about retrenchment possibly in the works at Southern Oregon University. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange in the university area, 541-552-6782. Around the region, toll-free, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You were just talking about effects on students, so there probably are some students thinking, well, what happens if my major disappears before I'm done with it?
That's right, and I'm really trying to get the word out to students that we have an obligation to teach out any program that a student is currently enrolled in. And so no student who is here should be at all worried. This is a process that will happen. If it goes forward, it will happen over a number of years as we make sure that students graduate in the programs that they're in. But, you know, incoming students may have a somewhat smaller list of offerings. But as I say, I think that what we're really going to be able to do is invest in the programs that students are just racing toward at this point.
You mentioned that over the years things get added and things don't often get dropped. So, I mean, are there programs that are actually growing at Southern Oregon University?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have wonderful interdisciplinary programs like our Emerging Media and Digital Arts, which is just the perfect example, I think, of a 21st century program because it puts together expertise in computer science, in art, in communication, in English and writing, helping students get this really dynamic background in web, film, video, all kinds of media. They are going to be, in fact, companies are already trying to lure those students away before they graduate because these are the kinds of skills that are really needed for companies all over. And so there are programs like that that are not the traditional major that students are seeking.
I'm curious about the enrollment dip, though, for 2 years running now, and it tends to be right in parallel with the improvement of the economy. Which, granted, isn't improving enough for some people fast enough. But certainly evidence coming in from community colleges, and this is not a community college we're talking about here, where as the economy got better, people were able to find jobs. They didn't need the training programs they were in anymore and stopped those. And so community college enrollment in some cases has dipped as well. Is that the effect you're seeing here that's dipping enrollment at SOU?
Yes. I think the job situation, the slight improvement in jobs has affected both the community colleges and the universities in this state. Many of my sister institutions are down this fall. I made a visit over to Umpqua Community College a few weeks ago, and they were afraid they might be down 30%. I think the numbers came in much better than that. But they're still, that's the kind of effect that we're seeing as the economy has bounced back a little bit.
In the process of thinking about what to potentially cut, you run the risk of losing revenue along with losing expenses because you're losing the students who use those programs, and therefore, I mean, I know what you've said about you'll make sure that people get to complete their programs, but it seems like as you reduce offerings, you probably are going to have some people go, ah, the heck with it, I'm out of here. So you potentially reduce revenue with your expenses. I mean, that has to be taken into consideration, doesn't it?
It does have to be taken into consideration. However, I do have to stress that every university in Oregon and many in California and Washington have been doing exactly the same thing that we've been doing. Everybody is looking hard at their academic offerings and saying, you know, we can't support a program that hasn't had anybody graduate in a couple of years. And so, you know, this process is going on everywhere. And I have to say, too, that I think universities are looking at the world out there, which has shifted. It's shifted for every industry you can think of, from, you know, music to radio to publishing. Everything is different now. And higher ed has to look at itself and say, all right, where are we in this shifting world, in this shifting economy? How do we meet the needs of our students?
We have a call for you. Let us go to Helga in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Southern Oregon University President Mary Cullinan.
I'm curious to have an explanation how the building of the new dormitories does not affect the deficit. There must be some lack of connection there.
All right, the dormitories is the question here, and I imagine that's a capital versus operating question.
Well, it's also, we just, to explain to listeners, we just opened a 700-bed, beautiful residential complex with a dining facility, and that was done through a public-private partnership. Actually, no state dollars were used for that facility. And so that's a wonderful example of the creativity that state universities have to use now, so that we have a wonderful new dorms and a really gorgeous community for students over there on the other side of the boulevard that is a very hot attraction for students. But it didn't cost the state a penny.
And in operating costs, is it more efficient to run than what you had before, or is it about the same?
It is absolutely more efficient, and it's tracking to be LEED Gold. The Cascade Complex, which was 600 beds that we will be closing, which we're using right now just for surplus space, it takes up something like 80% of our utility costs for the whole university. It's 60 years old or so, and it really needs to be pulled down.
All right. But that must be a tough message to get across, though, as people look and go, well, look, you built these nice new dorms, and you got this great dining area, and yet you're telling us you're going to have to go through this retrenchment process. What gives? And so that's, I'm sure, a question you've heard a lot.
It's true. It's part of the very complicated financial picture of any state entity of any public university, that we have different sets of funds and we can't merge those funds.
Mary Cullinan, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the president of Southern Oregon University. We'll take a couple more minutes with her here on the exchange. The process then of choosing what might go in retrenchment, will the prioritization report be front and center in that? Will that be the document that guides this process?
It certainly will be a very important part of the process. And I will say that actually last spring when the prioritization report emerged, a number of department chairs voluntarily said, well, we can close this, we can close that, things that showed up in the bottom quintile. But again, in order to do that, we needed to open the contract and go into the process. And so we actually have quite a few programs that we know departments have already offered up. And so there will probably be others. But if we go forward with this, I think some of this is already understood, that these programs are so small and that departments are willing to give them up.
Right. So potentially retrenchment and prioritization are linked anyway. But then you've got the other issue of governance going on, where Southern Oregon University does have the option to create its own governing board independent from the Oregon Board of Higher Education, which, yes, with all the acronyms, I'm actually getting confused about what's what anymore. But obviously, you know, the three big universities, Oregon, Oregon State, Portland State, get to create their own boards and are in the process of doing so right now. You can do that down the road. So there's that process and this process.
Yes, there are a lot of processes going on. But what I'm really want to make clear to everybody is that the discussion that we're having now about whether we would have our own board or whether we would join forces with the other technical regional universities in the state, any path that we go down requires that we have a clear vision for Southern Oregon University, that we have a clear plan, and that we have fiscal sustainability. And so regardless of how we're going to be governed, we have to get our house in order and make sure that we are financially sustainable.
Right. So what happens at the top and the guidance of it is less important than just making sure the dollars and cents in the short term are in order.
And that we have academic offerings that are right for our students.
What is the process then of retrenchment? I understand there are some meetings coming up.
Right now, we will go into a whole series of budget forums and put things up on the website and provide all the information that we can to let people try to understand what is a very complex financial picture for a public university. And then toward the end of the month, sometime after we've established the 15 university days, I will make an announcement of whether or not I think we go forward. And then of course, we have the holidays, and there are actually, you know, not that many university days between now and the beginning of the new year. And so we will then be having more open forums, discussions. Departments will be looking hard at their numbers, at their enrollments, at their mission and values, and all the things that they want to put into the mix. And we'll have a first draft of a plan that also will get looked at and discussed. And so the whole process would end probably by the end of winter term, the end of February or early in March. We will have a final plan.
All right, but a lot of work left to do still.
Absolutely.
Obviously, on this. All right, and plus you have preview day, I understand, today. You're bringing people on, potential students for next fall, onto campus today with their parents.
Absolutely. We have the largest preview day in our history today. It's very exciting, and I really think that all the things that are going on at SOU are just amazingly exciting. We're
never dull, that's
for
sure.
We're not bored at all, and we're doing a lot of terrific things for students.
Mary Cullinan is the president of Southern Oregon University. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about the retrenchment process.
Thank you.
We will take a short break on the Jefferson Exchange. When we come back, you'll hear Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac.